Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Coach McVay Show, presented by Microsoft Surface. I'm JB, along with my friend DeMarco Farr and the head coach of your Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay, coming home from the desert with a back-to-back victory and another sweep over a division rival, the Arizona Cardinals. Sean, how close was that to the effort, the complete football game that you've been hunting up this season?
It was close. I thought there was a lot of really good things. And I think like any game, JB, I thought there was good opportunities to be able to respond from some moments. I love the way that after that first drive, and the two-point conversion, our defense settled in. I thought they really controlled the game throughout after that. I love the way that they just stayed steady, stayed even keeled, kept a really explosive athlete, bottled up for the most part. You know, they had Connor back in the lineup. We didn't see him the first game. I thought we really contained him really well. So I was really pleased with our defense. I thought offensively the first drive was really efficient, and I thought for the most part that was kind of the theme for the day. Had the one little blip at the end of the first half, but I thought, you know, Matthew Stafford's command was outstanding. Getting Kyren Williams back in the mix, he obviously had a huge contribution to a really productive offensive day. Royce Freeman was a great compliment to him. I thought the receivers made their plays. You get Higgs in the end zone a couple times, and the offensive line, they were key and critical. You know, to be able to rush for over 220 yards, to be able to keep Matthew as clean as they did in the pass game, I thought those guys were excellent. And then thought Trammell did a nice job in some punt returns. Mm-hmm. And then there's some things that we can learn from, you know, which tremendous confidence and faith in Chase Blackburn and Jeremy Springer's leadership for our special teams to be able to improve on some of the things that didn't go down the way that we wanted. But really happy and pleased with the effort. And now let's see if we can carry it on and go get another one against a tough opponent this week at SoFi.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's fun when you outgain them, outstat them, and you pretty much get everything you want offensively and defensively. But the one thing that came back to my mind was that could have been anybody. I heard this from a different sport. It was actually a boxer, and he just whipped this outclassed guy, and his trainer said that could have been anybody. Mm-hmm. When we're playing like we're playing, that could have been any opponent. Does that sound about right for Sunday?
I thought that our guys played well against mm-hmm. the opponent that we played. Mm-hmm. And I think the consistency is the truest measurement of performance. Now, how can we use the momentum that these guys have earned and established since the bye and continue to build on it? And you don't just show up on Sunday at SoFi. You know, I think there's an element of being able to win the weeks and mm-hmm. being able to prepare the right way and have a great focus and concentration on what that point of emphasis within the game plan is and doing it with an enjoyment, but an urgency and an ability to continue to improve and all be accountable to one another. And that's what's been fun about this group, because mm-hmm. that's been consistent. And then I think you've started to see that compound interest. I think we established some grit where you learn how to work through some tough challenges that we experienced in the first part of the season. We had to, you know, in each of the last couple games, even though we've come out on top, there's still been moments where you have to respond to temporary setbacks. And I think that's going to serve us well. And let's see if we can carry that momentum the right way.
No doubt.
I like to think the Rams win yesterday, even if you go 3-and-out on that first possession. But how huge was it to hit 2-2 over the top to make sure that you get the first points of that game?
It was big. You know, 2-2 coming up big.
Yeah.
What a ball, what a throw by Matthew, and it was a great job. You know, he ends up winning on a inside release go ball. I thought that was a great track, because that was good tight coverage, and to be able to make a contested catch like that on a third down and 8 for 42 yards, there's no doubt that was the key play in the drive. I also thought it was really big in the other third down for Puka to be able to get the screen and end up cutting it to a fourth down and short, where that enables us to be able to run it with Kyren and he surges ahead, and then to be able to get Higgs in the end zone for his first touchdown of hopefully many this season, mm-hmm. You know, was really good. I thought there was a lot of guys. I thought Matthew got a bunch of guys involved. And it was kind of reflective of the kind of day that it was, where it was a good balance of run and pass and good overall execution from all hands on deck.
Higbee threw me off with this touchdown celebration, right?
Thought when it was a back injury.
I thought he got Puka too, so I'm not the only one. Yeah, that kind of got me there.
He's done it before.
He has?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I guess I missed that. I'm what is that?
2021, when we played the Niners, not in the NFC Championship, but in Week 18, He's a trip, man. 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 He's hitting him on a high cross, kind of in that, you know, that fringe area. Matthew puts it right on him, but it's a crossing route where he's got good tight coverage, kind of running away. You know, and then ended up catching a speed out on our sideline. But those were three catches that got him over 70 yards. All of them were big plays. All of them led to first downs in situations that we needed to have. And ultimately, those led to scoring drives for us. But he did a good job blocking, too. You know, yeah. He was a part of the run blocking surface a handful of times. And, you know, Eric Yarber, the one thing I think is such a credit and tribute to Eric Yarber is the buy-in that he gets from that room since he's been here of, hey, we're going to compete with and without the ball. We're going to see a consistent and steady growth and development from the guys that have been here. And Tutu is a great example of that.
Wow.
Should we dig into Kyren's day a little bit?
Big time.
This one crossed my radar this morning from NFL Research. Yesterday, he became the first in league history with these single game totals. 140 or more rushing, 6 or more catches, 60-plus receiving yards, and multiple receiving touchdowns. So anytime an individual does something for the first time in NFL history, wow. I know that's a statistical sandwich there, but that was super impressive.
That is super impressive. It's a super impressive way of combining a stat, too, that no one's ever done as well. But it is, nonetheless, it's a hell of a day for Kyren.
It all leads to this, though. I want to dispel a notion that I know kind of bounces around the Rams community. You love calling running plays, right?
Yes.
I mean, you're addicted to efficient runs.
Yeah. Yes. I like our job is to move the ball and try to score points. And so, you know, we've run the ball pretty efficiently here over a handful of years. But, you know, when we are getting those efficient chunk plays and we're able to stay on schedule, that's when you have the best opportunity to be able to have a lot of the foundational philosophies of our offense come to life. And it takes all 11, but Kyren's overall play energy, productivity, ability to be able to press it one gap at a time, you know, set those blocks. I think he has a great feel for that. And I think in the last two performances that he's had, that has been as evident on the film as, you know, any time that, you know, we've run the football efficiently over the last handful of years. And it's a real credit to him, but it's also a credit to the other 10 guys. Matthew getting us in and out of the right looks, and then the other 9 guys as part of that blocking surface. But it was a big time day, and then I thought Royce was an excellent compliment to him as well.
Oh, is that complimentary football or just running people over?
What do you think?
Same thing.
Both.
Yeah, give credit to the O line. You just did. I mean, just the way they block when you have a run play that pops to the safety, that's a win. Now, if you get beyond the safety, that's an even bigger win.
No question. Yeah. And I think what ends up happening too, DeMarco, as you know, this is that football is such a powerful momentum type of game. And when you're able to get those surges and then they know, all right, hey, what's the best way to get more runs off? Be efficient with the previous run, you know, and you can stay on schedule. You can kind of play the game on your terms. You can pick and choose your spots to be selective and smart about, all right, hey, are we setting some things up off of the run? Or I thought our guys were able to present a bunch of different run concepts, not exclusively to one type of run, but they're leaning on this type of thing. Then our guys were able to come back with something else. And that's a credit to their overall execution. And then that's when really the game plan and some of the things that we wanted to be able to do can come to life and things can kind of complementary play off of one another.
What I hear you saying there, both of you, is that when Royce Freeman runs over one of the best safeties in the game, that's more than just 14 yards and a first down in terms of its overall impact on the Rams.
It is. And I thought, you know, whether it was that one or even the one, you know, that he ended up finishing for the touchdown where he's kind of a free hitter coming from inside out on the backside. Royce runs with a violent authority. He's finishing falling forward. I thought Kyren did a lot of the same thing. And Ron Gould standards, you know, because he does such a great job, he'll say, oh, I thought we left some meat on the bone, you know, which is a good thing.
I was trying not to mention the other guy's name because he's a Husky, though. You had to put him out there.
I got
That's
you.
All right.
He's a stud, though.
He is a stud.
I got a lot of respect for that guy and the way he competes and flies around. Buda Baker is, He's one of the guys that I have a tremendous amount of appreciation for what he puts on tape and the way he goes about it.
He definitely stands out. Yeah. Defensively speaking, wow, unreal. I think you've given up, what, 30 points in the last two games? I mean, tremendous. And keeping Kyler Murray in the pocket, keeping him under, keeping that little guy from ruining the game, I thought was impressive.
Yeah, we did. You know, and for us to be able to have control of the game where you got a lot of opportunities for some other guys to gain and accumulate some experience was really powerful. And that's why I think you got to take the stats sometimes with a grain of salt. You know, what was the control of the game looking like throughout? And I thought we did that defensively, especially after that first drive. Thought we kept him bottled up. I thought we were really good on the third downs. Thought we did a great job of being able to recognize and communicate as one on the back end. I thought we had a lot of, you know, got a lot of hands on the ball in terms of breaking up passes, being in good positions. I thought Jordan Fuller and John Johnson were really active on the back end. Akello had a handful of pass breakups. DK maybe could have gone the other way on his two-point conversion. Maybe, you know, he was a little tired there when he ended up picking off their two-point conversion. But I thought it was a really good overall day. And, you know, Aaron always makes his presence felt, but I thought especially Kobe Turner, thought you really felt him. And I thought he did a great job and played one of his more complete games as a Ram in his young career.
What is this? It's the
conductor.
Conductor. I like that.
He likes music.
He does. I know. Keep getting sacks. Everybody, the whole world's going to know.
He's a pretty talented guy overall. Big time. He's got a lot of things. He is really good at football, but he's got a lot of different things that he could be really good at. Whatever that guy does, I'm betting on him.
No doubt. And he's only going to get better, like you said, the more reps he takes. But just defensively, just going after it and making play after play after play, and there's no let up. It's just, it's fun to listen to that side of the room make their adjustments at halftime, especially listening to Raheem Morris. I mean, he is really a field general.
Yes, he does a great job. And I think in a lot of instances, it's being able to communicate as one as a staff. And I think as a whole, they do a great job of being able to recognize and identify, all right, are we doing the things that we wanted to do coming into this game within each of the position groups? If we need to alter or adjust, great. If not, let's have the solves and the solutions within our techniques, our fundamentals, and then the intent of those calls. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really more pertinent than anything yesterday, especially just after that first drive. And I think you don't want to take away any credit from them. You know, they did a nice job of being able to execute and ultimately punch it in and then finish with the 2-point, which we'll learn from in terms of our alignments on the field goal.
Chasing that point, that was weird when they got the eighth point.
It was because they got us in an illegal formation on the field goal, on the extra point attempt. So then, you know, you're seeing that around the league where if you can put the ball on the 1 yard line percentage wise, and now these analytics say, hey, why don't you go for two right there? But, I thought, good learning opportunity for us on teams to make sure that we're not giving them a chance to put the ball on the 1 yard line after that extra point attempt. We'll get that cleaned up. But what I liked the most was the response afterwards, and that was exactly in alignment with what we're hunting up.
Heard you talking about the coverage there. I didn't hear Michael Hoyt's name, which is surprising because he did like the double
strap
celebration. He had the seatbelt working on the
goal line. They tried a rail route on him, man. They tried him, and he was in perfect coverage. The versatility that Hoyt's played with. He gets another sack yesterday.
Yeah.
He was pissed off when I ended up bringing him out at the end of the game. He wanted to be able to get another, try to get a stat. I said,
was he?
Get out. I don't want you getting hurt right now. But he does a lot for us, JB, and I think, you know, Joe Coniglio has done such a great job. You're seeing so much improvement from Michael Hoyt and Byron Young on the edges, and they've just continued to mature throughout the year. Thought it was good to get Kier Thomas and O'Shawn Mathis some snaps yesterday, but Michael Hoyt has really been playing at a high level. I mean, he's doing a great job in the run game. He does a great job being able to rush the passer. And then if we are asking him to produce, as a dropper and playing coverage, then he'll strap you up and he'll show it with the swag that he has on his celebrations.
I can't believe he did that. I really can't.
What?
He's strapped it up and pointed. I love it. That's my dude.
So you've talked about Higbee celebrations. Yeah. I brought Mike's into the fray. What I love about your group is they don't lead the league in touchdown celebrations, but when they do, it's more often than not a skill guy trying to give it to an
an offensive lineman, yes, which I think is a real testament to your group.
I think it is. You know, those big fellas, they need a little love too, don't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Give it to the butt and gut guys. Yeah, let them spike it every now and then. No doubt.
Last week, we talked about like every defensive player with a jersey having a hand in that win over Seattle. It felt like this was the offensive reflection of that game. And I'm not just talking like when you get Wentz and some of the deep twos in there, like I kind of at least 16 guys that felt like part of your true game plan yesterday.
Yeah, and really, I think 8 different guys caught a ball. You had 3 different guys carry the football. That was a big deal, and it was. And I thought it was defense, again, all hands on deck. Got a lot of guys involved in the game plan. I think those defensive coaches have done such a great job of identifying and then utilizing the skill sets of the guys that we have up on the active game day roster. And then yesterday, that was definitely on display. It was good to be able to get some of the other tight ends, Hunter Long and Davis Allen in the mix. It's good to have all the receivers contribute. It was good to be able to see Kyron and Royce and then Zach Evans be able to finish it up. And that was a real positive, and I think that's a theme that we want to consistently have, you know, as we continue and move forward and into next week.
You know what I thought was fun? Scoring 5 touchdowns, always fun. But watching Ethan Evans just absolutely pound the football on kickoffs, you should get points if he puts it through the uprights off a kickoff.
Hey, it's fun knowing that that's a kickoff after a scoring possession.
Absolutely. That kid's got a leg, though.
He does.
Either way, my goodness.
Yeah. Hey, he was Special Teams Player of the Week last week. Now, I don't ever want a punter to be Special Teams Player of the Week, okay? Right. That is not the goal.
Right.
But if we do have to, then I guess so be
it. He's got the body type. He's strong as hell. Give him a few more years.
Is he a unit?
My goodness. He's a unit, but close to
Wentz. Hunter classification.
Yeah, there you go. Close, yeah.
What about with the place-kicking position? What's your alert level there, and how do you strike the right balance between letting Lucas grow into that role versus knowing that you might be going someplace here in December and those points are extremely valuable?
Here's what I think. I think you got to be able to learn from it, and I like his resolve. There is a lot of things to really like about him and what we've seen in a short amount of time, and the confidence, the swagger, just the overall ability where the ball jumps off his leg. And you know, that's not the sturdiest surface where you don't necessarily always trust your plant leg in some of those situations and scenarios, but I think it's a great learning up. Hey, man, trust your technique, trust your fundamentals. Let's be as consistent as we can with our approach and our stroke as it relates to, you know, when we're getting into those extra point or field goal attempts. And I'm confident that he can rebound the right way. I think it would be way too early to press the panic button, but we do want to see, you know, an improvement, but also an ability to be able to move on, because, you know, you're watching and you're seeing some of the greatest of all time to be able to do it. They're missing some kicks. And, you know, one of the things that I think is consistent about all of these great kickers, whether it's the Matt Gaze of the world, the Greg Zuerlein, the Justin Tuckers, they're going to have some things that they want back, but they move on quickly, you know, and then they get back to the things that have enabled them to be consistent over time. And there's a lot of things you got to be able to work through, but that's what I'm optimistic that we'll work through that the right way with Lucas.
I love his I'm rooting for him. I love his personality. If I could pick a kicker, like, I want him to be like that guy. He's cool. You know what I mean?
So I do know what you mean. There's a legitimate, like, swag that he has, and I felt that same thing from Zuerlein. I felt that same thing from Matt Gay, and you're talking about two guys that have done it at a really high level that we were fortunate enough to have here. I think, you know, the more that you do this, the more you realize, and you don't ever want to take for granted some of the consistency and the production at a position like that we've been so fortunate to have as it relates to Greg and both Matt. And I think Lucas has a chance to be in alignment with that conversation, but let's respond the right way as we move forward into next week.
Got a couple about the quarterback position, and you often mention Matthew's ability to get the Rams in and out of things. Can you give us some more context on that, and specific to yesterday's game or not? Like, how often is he coming to the line with an option to go A or B, run or pass,
and
making that decision?
You know, it's game plan dependent, it's situation dependent, but pretty frequently. I thought the overall operation just getting us in and out of the huddle in the early parts of the game, managing being, you know, without your verbal cadence, changes in tempo, whether that's as we break the huddle, whether that's going tempo at the line of scrimmage and getting route concepts, protections and things like that straightened up. And so in some form or fashion, that's every single snap, JB. Now, whether he's actually audibling, but I thought his overall command, his overall ability to be able to get us in and out of the right stuff, get through progressions, manage the run game, especially when you're talking talking about a defense that presents a variety of different issues where if you are just running a certain play, man, you can be in some really bad situations where you're in essence wasting plays. We didn't ever really want to do that. And we were fortunate to have the luxury of not doing that because we have such an impressive quarterback that can handle a bunch of information above the neck and then be able to translate it to his overall physical execution.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have picked a better, you know, time to perform the way you did running the football based on what happened the week before with him. So anytime you can get a game where he finishes the game on his feet and feeling pretty good about it, you can even pull him out of the game.
He did good, though. And I thought he made some throws yesterday, yeah, DeMarco, that were indicative of, all right, that thumb is feeling better.
Yeah.
You know, he would never complain about it, but that's a real thing. You know, I mean, and just some of the last second corrections, the ability to grip the ball and feel like you have control all the way until that last second, you know, where you know, you're just changing that arm angle or that the way that you want to be able to kind of just correct it at the last second ever so slightly. And there were some really high caliber throws that that were special, and it was kind of on some plays that people probably wouldn't even notice that were indicative of, mm-hmm, oh man, he's feeling better. He's feeling a lot better than he did last week. And I always love seeing him. You know, you talk about that celebration swag after his, mm-hmm, second touchdown to Higby, you know, whatever he's doing down there, it's swaggy as hell. And he looks like he's having fun, and that, yeah, sure translates to everybody else.
It seems like one of the greatest offensive areas of improvement this season has been the screen game. There was a disconnect there between him and Kyren and really the entire 11-person operation early in the year. But, man, did it ever come to life yesterday. What goes into making that screen game come to life?
All 11. I mean, and I think it's especially important in terms of the quarterback and the running back, but then also the offensive lineman understanding and owning the intent. And there was a couple different variations of screens, whether you're talking perimeter screens, play action screens, drop back screens, all of which, you know, in some form or fashion were helpful for us to have success offensively. But I think especially the screens that were going to the halfback, one of them in particular was off of play action, and then a couple of them were off of our drop back actions that guys had a great understanding up front. They knew the phasing that we wanted. They knew where those landmarks and the intent. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that you notice as it relates to the offensive lineman, the quarterback, and the running back is really owning and understanding the intent of the play. What are the things that we need to do to be able to solve the potential problems that could arise within the framework of the play? And then, you know, how can we ultimately execute it on time and in the, you know, the location and landmarks that you're ideally hunting up on the field while getting guys blocked?
I think every screen to draw that ever got around me, pre-snap, I'm thinking I'm going to kick your butt because I just got my butt kicked. And then you've bluffed me and boom, you're out.
Best way to regulate the rush.
See? Right there.
I'm not sure there's a greater sign of the health of where the Rams are, especially offensively, but really as a team, than the fact that Kupp and Puka can combine for 8 and 45 yesterday, and you still win going away.
Yeah.
And I know that Cooper contributed in other ways. I think he got a block on that 56-yard pop run from Kyren and some other things, but how good does that make you feel as the play caller, but also the head coach, that you don't have to lean as heavily on those two and still get 30-plus?
Yeah, I think it was great. And I think the best thing is, you know, the best offenses, they've got the ability to be able to be efficient in either or, the run or the pass. And that's what's been consistent since we've been here and been a fortunate part to be, you know, to have some successful offenses here. And I thought that was definitely what you saw yesterday. That's what we've got to continue to do. And then there will be some opportunities and moments where we might need you to be able to make those kind of plays in some of those passing situations, or whether it be off of some of the things that marry with our runs. And I feel very confident that they can do that.
Fun one this week, man.
Great challenge. Cleveland's this is why you get into the NFL.
Good defense. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be fun for you.
Be outstanding.
Isn't this the challenge you always look for?
Yeah. This another is why hill you get to climb? Into,
yeah.
This is why you get into the league. Yeah. Is every single week there's some sort of new challenge that you love. And that's why, you know, every single week there's always something that occurs that everybody's sitting there saying, oh, I can't believe that. But we're excited to attack this challenge the right way. You got a really good Cleveland Browns team, mm-hmm, coming in here. They'll be, I guess, out here for the week since they played in Denver before and flew out here. And so, we're looking forward to it, and I can't wait to get to work on these guys.
Yeah, they're practicing at UCLA this week, with or without Miles Garrett and Denzel Ward. If styles make fights, this is a much different one than last week and a very intriguing one in that regard.
Yeah, it is. And really, I'm excited to dive into this film and really see what they look like. I know that I've always had respect from afar for what they're doing. They're obviously playing really well defensively. They're very disciplined, well-coached on special teams. And then Kevin Stefanski, Bill Callahan, those guys, they've done a really good job. They're always going to have a bunch of run variety that they can present. They'll mix up their personnels, even though they want to mainly, you know, live in kind of the 11 personnel. And I think they've done a really good job, whether it's with Walker or with DTR, of being able to alter and adjust the way that they can still be really productive offensively in the absence of, obviously, their guy in Deshaun and missing a player like Nick Chubb. But I think that's a real credit to their players they have and also their coaching and why they're at 7-4 right now.
Yeah, I like that DTR kid. Yeah, pretty good. Yeah.
Me too.
Took a pop. Yeah.
Sean, thanks for your time. Congratulations on a second consecutive win. Go for three this Sunday at SoFi Stadium. Looking forward to being home with you. Hope you can join us for Browns and Rams. For the head coach, Sean McVay. For DeMarco Farr, I'm JB Long. We appreciate you joining us for the Coach McVay Show, presented by Microsoft Surface.